one else like. There is no one else like you, oh Lord, there is no one else. No other God that I serve but you. There is no one else like you.
Amen. Aren't you just glad that we serve of God? There's no one else like him. Amen. Amen. Let's just pray. Lord God, we thank you just for another day that we can gather into your house, Lord God. We ask that, Lord, you would just, Lord, be with us, Lord God, and just speak to us in a special way, Lord God. Just thank you, first of all, just getting us through the day, Lord God, and just letting us wake up, Lord God, go to our jobs, and Lord, just do the activities that we do in our everyday life, Lord God, and then make it to the house of God, Lord, safely, Lord. We just want to take the time just to say thank you, Lord, just for, Lord, just watching over us, Lord, today. And we ask that, Lord, as Brother Jack would come, Lord God, just to continue in the book of Ecclesiastes, Lord God, or Ephesians, I'm sorry, Lord. We ask that you just would just, Lord, just reveal, Lord, your revelation to us, Lord God, that we may just be able to continue to understand it, Lord God, and also just know our Lord, proper place in the body, Lord God. We ask that you just would take control of this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
With your people singing praises, I love to stand and rejoice. Lift my hands and raise my voice. So I love to be in your presence. With your people singing praises, I love to stand and rejoice. Lift my hands, I love to be in your presence. Say, I love be in your presence with your people singing praises. And I love to stand and rejoice. Lift my hands. You set my feet to dance. And you fill my heart with song. And you give me reason to. You set my feet to dance. You set my feet to dance. And you fill, Lord, and you give me reason to rejoice. Oh, I love to be in your presence with your people singing. How many do you love? Lift my hands and raise. Can you say I love? Say I love. Yes, I do. Just the congregation you said. Let me hear you say. You give. You set my feet and dance, oh Lord. You fill my heart with song. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Everybody say, I love, I love, I love. Yeah, yes. My God, I love. How many do you love? I love. Do you love? As Brother Jack would come at this time. Ask somebody, do you love? To stand and rejoice. Lift my hands and raise. Oh, I love. In his presence there's fullness of joy. Oh, I love. Stand and rejoice. Lift my hands. To stand and rejoice. Oh. To stand and rejoice. Lift my hands and raise. To stand and rejoice. To stand and rejoice. Lift my hands. Now put those hands together. If you love. sounds like somebody loves to be in God's presence. Worship His holy, holy name. Can you say I love to be in your presence? Do you love? You set my feet to dance. Oh yes, yes sir. And you give me reason to rejoice. You set my feet, you set my feet to dance. You feel, and you give, Lord.
Father, we love to be in your presence. We love to sing praises with your people. Certainly, Lord God, it's a blessing to be able to come, Father, amongst the saints of God to worship together. And as we come tonight, we ask that you would just minister to every one of our hearts and needs. Even as we go through this lesson tonight, we trust that you take control over the lesson, that your spirit, Lord, would just help us to all relax and to receive from you tonight. Help us, Lord, not to be so locked in, but, Lord, to be sensitive to what you want done here tonight, in Jesus' name. Bless those that are still on the way, God. May they arrive safely. And those that won't be able to make it tonight, we ask that you look upon them as well. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. God richly bless you. We'll quickly go to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. And just read there, really the first 14 verses. Just these verses alone are enough to take us from weeks and weeks and weeks, but we'll do all we can just to get through the this book. It says here, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And this is a very good position to be in, to be blessed, amen, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And we're certainly trying to work through this adoption here. And we'll just see how the Lord would take it. I kind of have a leading to maybe even bring some preaching as well as some teaching on this. And we'll just kind of hit this at the beginning of the year. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath bounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. You think about how you, how we all got here, amen, in different church backgrounds that we all come from. Some maybe even come straight out of the world. But it was all in God's mind that we would sit here tonight and be able to enjoy the fullness of the word of God. And nothing that we did special, amen, was all according to his good pleasure, amen, that we sit here tonight. And verse 10 says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. The redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Let's we'll just kind of pick up. I know I left off in quote their position in Christ, I believe, paragraph E41, but what I want to do, we'll come back to that. I'll make that my last one for tonight. I'm going to try my best to kind of get through this. I'm going to start with a I'm going to start with another quote. I think it's adoption. I think it might be paragraph 159, if I'm not mistaken. And what this quote kind of starts off saying is it refers back to the scripture here. Let me just find it really quick. Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together and one all things in Christ, which both are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Brother Branham just kind of make a quick statement here about dispensation. So I just want to bring that in if we can here. It says, you believe in dispensations? The Bible said so. In the dispensation of the fullness of time. So he asks the question, what is the fullness of time? There's been a dispensation of, well, there was a dispensation of the Mosaic Law, and I think this is really important. I believe that's adoption, the message adoption, 60-0522M, and I think it's paragraph 159, if I'm not mistaken. I think I put that down. And there was a dispensation of the Mosaic Law, all right? And that's when Moses received the law for the children of Israel and gave that to them. It says there was a dispensation of John the Baptist, when John the Baptist came to forerun the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, so important for us to try to catch the different dispensations. We got to know what dispensation we are living in, all right? There was a dispensation of the Mosaic Law. There was a dispensation of John the Baptist. There was a dispensation of Christ. So when Christ walked the earth, there was a dispensation for that. There's a dispensation of church organization. Also, there's dispensation of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. What happened there on the day of Pentecost? A dispensation of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is what he says here that I want you to catch. Now's the dispensation of adoption. Amen. Now's the dispensation of adoption. What the world's waiting, groaning. And when the fullness of time comes, when the dispensation of the fullness of time, what is the fullness of time? When the dead rises, when sickness ceases, when all the earth ceases to groan, the fullness of the dispensation of time. So we're living in that time now where we can expect, amen, the dead in Christ to rise. We can also expect sickness to let up off our bodies. Amen. It cannot hold us any longer. Church, the dispensation, you know, of the fullness of time. We long. Nature's grown for it. We grown for it. Amen. If you've never experienced sickness in your body, be grateful. Amen. But if you ever have these little attacks that you have to suffer with here and there, Amen. Then you long for this just like nature longs for it. Praise God. You're tired of going through the things that you're going through in your body. And some of us go from one thing to the next thing. We get overcome this, and now we're down with this, and we up. We get over that, now we're down. The devil just constantly attacking the body, and he can do that. See, he can do that. But when the scripture speaks of this, you know, dispensation of the fullness of time or the redemption, amen, coming to our bodies, that's what we're looking for, a change of this body. Amen, a true change of this body. Praise God. I can't wait for it, church. Amen. So that's the dispensation of the fullness of time. We're living in that right now. Let's go on to this next quote here, also found in the Message Adoption. And he speaks about this, and he says, and he's talking more about, let's see here, the earnest, and I want to get that. It's the first quote that I have on the page there, the earnest. Let's see which scripture I want to go back and give you on that. I think it's verse 14. It says, verse 13 says, "In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believe ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." The earnest of our inheritance. Now, I want you to catch this, what Brother Branham says the earnest is. Now, he says here in the Message Adoption, now you walk into this, then you have eternal life. Now, what does it happen? It is the earnest. It is the earnest. What is the earnest money on anything? If I come to you to buy a car, I'd say, how much is that car? You say, this car, Brother Branham, costs you $3,000. Well, the next question is, what's the down payment? Because if any of y'all ever bought a car before, and especially nowadays with the prices of cars, you don't have that kind of money just sitting around to go buy a car. Amen. So you're asking, okay, how much is the down payment? And the good thing about the down payment part is that you can work a deal out with these people, and you can pay them, amen, a little small amount. Some of us go in there, we get no down payment. And that's when you're really praising God. You ain't have to give the people no money. And you walk right on out of there with that car, and you just be enjoying the benefits, racking up the miles. The car not yours. If you just miss a couple payments, they are coming to get their car. I don't care how many miles you put on it, even with your stuff on the inside of it, they'll come get that car. Amen. See? So, you know, but the thing of it is that you enjoy the benefits of it, amen, just by giving a down payment. Even though you ain't paid it off, you still enjoy the benefits of driving that car. See, and so when we talk about the earnest, you know, we're also talking about, amen, us enjoying the benefits of the Spirit of God, not having the fullness of it come upon us. Amen. Just the earnest of it. Let's keep reading here. Praise God. I like this. Says, what's the down payment? Well, I'll let you have it for $500, all right? Here's the $500. I'll bring the rest of it to you sometime, as soon as I can. You hold the car, I give you $500. That's the earnest. Is that right? Now, hold that. It's the earnest. It's the down payment. After you were sealed by the Spirit of Promise, after you were sealed, which is, what is the seal of promise? The Holy Spirit promised. And now the thing of it is we can't enjoy this. Like this whole book of Ephesians is not for it's not for people. I mean, you got to be rooted and grounded in God to be able to receive the benefits of Ephesians. And not just rooted and grounded in God, you got to be filled with the Spirit of God. You got to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost in order to be able to walk into this place that we're talking about here. And this is where God wants us. Amen. It's not good enough of us just to be good church members. That's not what God calling us. Anybody can do that. Anybody. I mean, you can be a drunk on the street and still be a good church member. I've seen them. Don't tell me. I done seen them. They play organ in church. And after they finish playing organ in church, they walk right down the court. They not listening to no preaching. Now, they're going down to the corner, get some liquor, gonna drink, and then come right back and finish off the service and wait for their paycheck. Faithful to it every Sunday, they'll do it. See, so we're not talking about that. That life, it's got to be more to this Christian walk than that. Amen. All right. So, you know, here, let's just keep reading here. It says, after you're sealed by the Spirit of promise, after you seal, which is, what is the seal of promise? The Holy Spirit promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Amen. There's another part where Brother Branham talks about the Chinese laundry. And he said, now what happened with the Chinese laundry is back, you know, when the Chinese came over here to America, they didn't really speak the language, but they had laundry businesses, and they would you take your laundry in there, and amen, they would do your clothes for you and so on and so forth. But in order for them to understand it was you that came back, what they do is they take a sheet of paper or a ticket, they call it, and they tear the ticket, you know, in half. And now it didn't tear evenly. So they just tear it. And like if you ever try to tear a sheet of paper, sometimes just don't tear it evenly. For you to tear it evenly, you put a crease in it to try to tear it. But if you just take it and rip it, it don't tear evenly. Now, the good thing about that system is that when you came back to get your clothes, you had to have the other side of the paper or the ticket. And that side had to match up with their side. And if you didn't have, they say, no ticky, no laundry. See, no ticky, no laundry. So you had to have the other side of the ticket to get your laundry, all right? Because they didn't know who you were, right? Same thing it is, I mean, your experience has got to match the Lord Jesus Christ. See, the spirit that you got to have, it's got to be just like his spirit in order to match. If you don't got no ticky, no rapture. No Holy Spirit, no rapture. There's a direct quote on that. That's why Brother Branham say it's essential, absolutely compelling, compulsory that we receive the Holy Ghost now. Because without it, we cannot go in the resurrection. Church, this is serious business. Lord, and I am trying my best to stay on target here tonight, but my heart, amen, is longing to see the Spirit of God. I'm hearing testimonies come to me and how God is moving in other people's churches where the baptism of the Holy Ghost is pouring out on people. I'm looking for the same thing here. I'm talking about the true Spirit of God, you know. I'm talking about, you know, I'm hearing testimonies of people that had no intention of serving the Lord, sitting inside the pews. But because of a certain service, a certain atmosphere was creating that service, those people come wanting to be prayed for and their lives are changed. I mean, God is moving in a very real way. See, I'm under expectation for it, you know. And I know that we have to preach it, we have to teach it, we have to talk about it, just so that people understand God is expecting more of us. Our spirit has to match his spirit. And I can tell you the spirit that we were born with does not match his spirit. That's why he said he'd give us a new heart, a new spirit, and then he said he'd put his spirit in the midst of all of that. So I'm under expectation for it. Listen, the Holy Spirit is a down payment. The Holy Spirit is what puts you in position to be able to take a rapture. Without the Holy Ghost, we can't make the rapture. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, listen. What is it? It's a down payment. And brother, oh, if this is the down payment, what's it going to be when we get, what's it going to be if this is what we enjoy now and get so happy? Till I've seen men 90 years old just couldn't, I've seen an old preacher that raised up one night. He come out, he said like this, coming out on the platform. I said, that old man going to preach? Said, well, bless the Lord, an old colored fella, great big old long preacher's coat on. I said, why didn't they let some of the young preachers preach? And I'm going to tell you, this is something that preachers go through. Because when they look at even saints, you look at certain people preaching, and you just already got a certain expectation in your mind. Don't ever do that. Fight that spirit, because the enemy will block you from getting what you need to get from that person. Amen. Praise the Lord. See, so here, Brother Branham going through the same thing. Say, that old man, how can he ever preach? He said, brethren, he said, today I've been hearing the brothers preach all day long. He said, what about what Jesus done on earth? I'm going to tell what he done in heaven. He said, I'll take my text tonight from Job 7:27, said, when it was way back yonder before the foundation of the world, said, when he said, the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy, going like that. Said, you know, there's something went on the back there. He said, you know, and he began to bring on what taking place in heaven. He brought it down the horizontal rainbow and the second coming. About that time, the Holy Ghost struck him. Now they had to lead the old fella out. He was around 95 years old. He's just like this, all bent over and just a little rim of hair, you know, like this. Got out there and he started preaching, said, whoopee, hallelujah, glory, got to jumping up and down like that. Said, oh, you ain't got enough room here for me to preach. Jumping up and down like that, hard as he could go. And that's what that man experienced. That's just the earnest. Oh, hallelujah. So, I mean, you see the sisters and the brothers coming out. Amen. And then that's just the earnest of it. Amen. We haven't even scratched the surface of what God got for us. It says, what does the Holy Spirit do? Oh, here's a good place. Let me read the first verse of the next chapter. Can I? Is it all right? Say amen. It says, all right, the first verse of the second chapter quickly. Listen, you, sorry. Got this little device here and I done messed up something. I'll pick it up here in a second. Oh, praise the Lord. That was an adoption, right? Okay. Yes. Says, you, has he quickened? What does quicken mean? Made alive. Just about gone. But he quickens you just by the earnest money. What will it be when you really get a hold of the dividends? Oh. No wonder Paul, caught up in the third heaven, saying, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has for them in store that love him. What will that be? You talk about joy unspeakable and full of glory. And he just, I can't even pronounce them words. Woo. Mm. You know, you who were once dead in sin and trespasses, he is quickened together by the shadow of the shadow of the shadows. What's it going to be when you come to the shadow of the shadows into the shadow? The shadow then into the creek into the river into the ocean. y'all got to excuse me. Lord have mercy. We were over there and Brother Bisco made a statement about the five kingdoms. And he's talking about five kingdoms that are here on earth and how the lower kingdom cannot come up into the upper kingdom unless the upper kingdom reaches down and pulls the lower kingdom into it. And he was saying the first kingdom was the mineral kingdom, you know, and that can't come up, you know, to any other level. It stays there, say, but what happens, the second kingdom is botany life, which are trees. And those trees are planted down in the earth, and they get all the minerals out of the soil and everything. They pull that up, and that's what causes the trees to grow. Mm-hmm. Say, well, that tree also, there's animal life that sits a little higher than that, and the animals going to eat from the trees. And what they're doing is they're pulling the life that was in that in botany life coming up to the next level, mm-hmm. to animal life. The animals, you can't stop there. The animals now, amen, have man that's over the top of them. And what man does is go down into that realm and pulls the life that was in the animals up into human life. He says, but the greatest life is the spiritual life. And what we had is the Lord Jesus come down and pull us up into him, into that fifth level. Church, I tell you, we got some things to be looking forward to. Amen. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has in store for them that love him. Let's keep going. Is it when you're way out there in redemption with a brand new body? You turn back to a young man altogether again, or a young woman. You're never going to die no more. Amen. You look down on earth and think I can enjoy some grapes and some good cold water, but you know, I don't need it here. But someday Jesus is coming, and this angelic body, this theophany that I'm living in, will not come through the womb of a woman anymore. It'll not come through sexual desire anymore. But because that he was born without sexual desire, I'll be resurrected without it. And he will speak someday, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and that body that I once lived in will resurrect into a glorified body. And I'll walk, and I'll talk, and I'll live, and I'll enjoy, to the ages that is to come, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. There you are, brother. That's the gospel. So the Holy Spirit is just the earnest of these things that we're looking for. That body change that you're expecting, amen, you got to get the Holy Ghost first before you can expect a body change. All right, let's keep going. I got another one here. Let's see here. Yes, this is out of Revelation chapter 5. We'll bring that. Praise God. And my praise God. I'm looking forward to it, church. I'm looking forward to it. He's bringing this. He says, because it's not me, but it's the Holy Spirit, the very angel of God that you see. How about these days here when all these things taking place and this angel of the Lord standing near? I wouldn't know these things, but it's the hour. It's here. When we get through these seven spirits, then seven horns and things and things today, if the Lord willing, you'll see where it's at. It's the hour that we're in that these revelations are supposed to come. It's the book of Revelations, the revealing of Jesus Christ. And we found out the very first chapter, he revealed who he was. Now he's in the seven seals revealing how he redeemed the earth. And one of them was by the name of Jesus Christ. The other was taking the fear out of the people. And this is what, when we get into the book of Ephesians, and once you realize who you are, it should take the fear out of you. Amen. What fear? The fear of backsliding. What if this happened and I backslide tomorrow? You can't. That's a hard thing to say, but when you really, really got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you ain't going back to the world. Amen. Just bottom line. You don't have a desire. You don't even think that way. Amen. I mean, you can tell when that change takes place. I don't know what it is. You know, we all have different struggles, and we might, you know, like even me as a pastor, I could have a struggle. I say, you know what? I just don't. Lord, being pastor ain't easy. I just don't want to be pastor no more. I could go through that. The devil would throw that at me. And maybe it's just, boy, it's just, whoo, wow, whoo, you know. But I don't have no thought about going back into the world. I still be in church. See, I mean, you might get to that. Well, that right there, I took on that responsibility. I just can't do that no more. But you ain't thinking about going back into the world. That's somebody with a totally different thought. They have not had the same experience. Once you come in contact with the Lord Jesus in this fashion, it's just no way you can turn around. You can't. See? I mean, I believe Peter said, to whom shall we go? Everybody left the church. Everybody walked out. All his friends was gone. Relatives, everybody, gone. But to whom shall we go? You the one got eternal life. I mean, what you talk about? Go somewhere. Jesus, I never even thought about that. It never crossed my mind. I'm going to just stand here and see how this thing work out. See, I mean, that's the way it is. You just get so wrapped up in God that you don't have those thoughts anymore. Amen. That's a good place to be. Listen, where am I on that quote there? I'm at the bottom here, Ephesians 4:30. Okay, that we are eternally secure, taking all the, the other was taking the fear out of the people, like eternal redemption, justification by faith, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What? That we are eternally secure, taking all of the doubt, now away from the people. Taking all the doubt now away from the people. Last week, I think I hit that a little bit where I was trying to take some of the doubt away from the people. Everybody else got all kind of thoughts and ideas as to who you are. You this, you that. Don't be governed by what other people think about you. Don't let that be your Christian walk. I mean, well, they said this. You got to know who you are as a son and daughter of God that can't nobody. I mean, look, ain't nothing. You can't hold nothing over my head. I've come and done things the way the Lord told me to do it. And I'm not letting nobody hold nothing over my head. I mean, and if you're going to, I mean, it wasn't me that did it in the first place. If you got a true revelation, I'm justified just as if I never did it. See? So, I mean, don't ever get so locked in where you allow other people to dictate how you walk as a Christian. Don't do that. And people will love to do that. Some people like to keep you underneath their thumb. People love to do that. See, you know, when they see you kind of rising up a little bit in some area, oh, no, they got to do something to try to pull you down. Even if they have to make up a story on you. Amen. People will lie. Yes, they will. They'll go to church and they will lie. Yeah. Liars go to church. I'm telling you the truth. Hey, I'm not lying. Liars actually go to church. Amen. And you got to be able to discern those spirits. Because sometimes it's just a spirit coming against you. Amen. I mean, who was that? Brother Branham prayed for a couple of people. And one of them people they prayed for come through the prayer line and say, somebody lied to you. And it's like that. It's like the spirit of witchcraft. Say they lied to you and told you some things. And you just been worried about all the stuff that they told you. And that's what's got your body in the condition that it's in right now. Because you believe somebody's lie. Stand on the word of God. Amen. Amen. God say you're free, then you're free. No matter what nobody else say. Amen. Praise God. You're not here to please people. You're here to please God. Glory. All right, listen. We are eternally secure, taking all the doubt now away from the people. If you got the earnest of your salvation, God has already sealed you to the day of your redemption. Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of your redemption. Now, look at what he says. How are you going to backslide? And then look what he says after that. You might backslide, but you can't be lost. What? Now, that's a deep statement. First, how are you going to backslide? Then, you might backslide, but you can't be lost. Now, there's another quote where he said, you know what, we backslide every day. Because the backsliding is that if you can ever think of what that highest point that you was in God, and you got to this point, and you didn't keep going, but you start going back the other way, you backslid. Amen. Sometimes backsliding don't mean leave the church. You can be right in the church and backslide. Amen. See? I mean, you're at a high point. You was way up here. Then something happened in your life. You just start, you know, like I say, you get people, they start out in the front of church sitting there. They're on fire. Then they start moving further and further back. And the further and further back you go, when you get to the back row, you're actually on your way out. Amen. It's ain't nothing but the truth. They you're on your way out. The further back, nobody really, they don't miss me way back here, you know. You get further and further away. You're on your way. And backsliding sometimes is just a gradual process. Amen. Praise the Lord. But listen, a person with the true Holy Ghost, look at what happened. It says, you might backslide, but you can't be lost. And if you stay in that state, it showed that you didn't have it in the beginning. So that's the thing. When you got the Holy Ghost, he got a way of correcting you and getting you right back to the house of the Lord and get that thing right. Amen. But if you're a child of God, the worshiper once purged has no more conscience of sin. Says Hebrew, that's true. Hebrews, that's true. So you can't be a Christian. You can't have the Holy Ghost and run out and live in the world. If you love the world and the things of the world, the love of God's not in you. So you're just listening to a false sound somewhere. The devil got you all puffed up. But if you examine your life by the Word of God, It shows you're living right down that Bible pages. Then you got eternal security. And there's nothing to be fearing about. What God promised, God will do it. I challenge any person to take that. You just take that and walk with that word and watch what happens to you. Brother, it'll bring to pass everything. God said so. Everything God promised, it'll happen. Amen. So when we come into this state with God, church, we can rest. Amen. It brings a rest to us. Praise God. And that's what we look for. The Holy Spirit is a rest. I want to go back now and see if we can finish off that quote from last week. And as we bring that, just really quick, if you turn with me to Galatians chapter 1, Galatians chapter 4 and verse 1. And this we're going to go back to a quote out of Position in Christ, starting at paragraph E41. Okay. This, as we kind of get, we're swinging back around here to, predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. And what we try to identify here is adoption is your placing. Amen. Adoption is your placing. It's not, we try to make it, I think sometimes a little bit more, but Brother Branham's made it very clear that it's the placing of a son. And the other thing about being placed as a son, first that son is born into the family, and as he's born into the family, he's still a child, and he's not able or capable of really handling the father's business, so he has to go through this process of being tutored. And as he goes through the process of being tutored, as he develops into a worthy young man, the tutor is constantly reporting back to the father, letting the father know the progress of the child. And when the father feels like that child has really reached a particular spot, then that father has a ceremony of adoption where he adopts his own son into his family. All right. And Brother Branham's clearly taught us that the tutor today is the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Holy Ghost is our tutor. He's the one that reports back to the father, let him know our progress. Amen. As children of God. How do we stay with the Word of God? How faithful are we, to the Lord? All of these things, he's reporting back, amen, because, God is trying to make us co-workers in this business that he has, amen. There's so much there in the Scripture that points to us. I mean, God did it with Adam in the beginning. God could have named them animals himself, but he wanted Adam to have a part of it. So he took the animals to Adam, amen. God could have come some other way to deliver the children of Israel, from down there in Egypt, but he chose Moses, to be a part of that. Even in the New Testament, the Scripture that says, pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into, the field that they might work the harvest. Say, the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. And Brother Branham said, here Jesus is the Lord of the harvest, standing there telling the disciples to pray that the Lord will send workers into the field. Now you say, now he could have took care of that himself, but the reason that he wanted them to pray because he wanted them to have part of this. See, same thing with you all today. God wants you to have part in this. Praise God. Even when we look at Brother Branham's ministry, it wasn't just Brother Branham. See, Brother Branham came as an example son to what we're supposed to come into as the children of God. There's people that you're running into every day that needs something, even if it's just a prayer that you lay hands on them and you touch them. I'm not talking about telling the person, you need to come to my church and my church still pray. No, can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? And then I'm also going to take the prayer request to the church, but if you don't mind me praying for you. Oh, my. Oh, remember the little lady that I told y'all about that prayed in Brother Branham's meeting? Brother Eddie Bisco brought out another point. He said he went to a meeting before he even met Brother Branham. He went to a meeting one night, was sitting there at the meeting and sitting on the front row, and they say the power of God was all over the place. So after he finished the meeting, there was a husband and a wife sitting right behind him. They kind of sat there. He sat there in front of them, and everybody kind of leaving. So the wife looked at him and said, you got something on your heart. There's something troubling you, a young lady that you're interested in. And he say, never met the lady in his life, said, yeah, you're right. I came to church with that burden on my heart. You know, a young lady that I'm interested in. And he said, yeah, you're right. Say the lady looked at him, and then she turned around and did like this. She said, the young lady you're interested in is right there. And he said, that lady was dead right. The young lady that he was interested in was sitting right back there in the back. He pointed her right. She pointed her out. That, to me, you want gifts, pure, genuine gifts like that. You want that in the church. You want that. I mean, somebody to pick up what you're going through and then just, I mean, don't worry. God said, do this and do that, and it's going to be all right. Now, the problem is we get gifts like that, and then we go trying to get next to that person all the time when something go wrong. Don't do that. Don't do that. I guess somebody done did that. See, don't do that. See, I mean, you know, it's the same way that people would tell Brother Branham, give me a vision. Give me a vision. Brother Branham, give me a vision. He can't give a vision. If God don't give the vision, he won't have one for you. See, and this is where Pentecost has gotten so wrong. That give me a word. Give me a word. Speak a word to me. Speak a word. If God ain't gave me no word, I can't give you no word. I tell you what you do. Open up your Bible and just read and trust God. That's the best word I can give you. But, you know, but now, give me a word. You'll be in the grocery store. Somebody got a word. In the parking lot, they got another word. You know, you get to church, they'll change the word on you. What I told you yesterday, God gave me something new today. See? I mean, all that, and that's where the church has gotten to. And I mean, there's people that are hungry, and they would love to come and sit the way that we sit and receive, or we receive. The only reason that they don't come here is because we ain't got all that going on. Give me a word, and give me this, and give me that. No, no, no. That's not how these things work. That's not how gifts work. You know, a true gift of God never does anything like that. Never. And anytime you see somebody trying to push themselves, that's the spirit of Absalom. His spirit was, if they would just come to me for some advice, then, you know, I would do this. He was still in the hearts of the people with that type of gift. You be careful about that. All right. Galatians chapter 4, it says this. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. See, as a child, he differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Even though the inheritance is his, but he differeth nothing from a servant, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Now, it's not up to the child to say when he's ready. It's up to the father to say. It says, even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. All right, let's go here to this quote in Position in Christ, I believe. And we'll start there at E41. Brother Branham, we were reading a little bit of this last week and just trying to bring, you know, this type of adoption in. And how we've been predestinated unto adoption. Now, he says this, Galatians, the fourth chapter, first to fifth verses, gives a beautiful picture of it, how that we were under the tutors, so on. But now, when this child was born, he became a son. The very moment he was born in the family, you get it? Now then, there was a tutor over this boy to educate him and to raise him up. Well, he was no more than a servant, said the Galatian letter, until he came to an age, a certain limited time that was set, and this tutor would always take the father word, your son is progressing right, or whatever it was. And now that's where I'm not disagreeing, my dear brother, but here, take it as from one who loves you. There's where Pentecost fails to see this. See, if the Holy Spirit, maybe not willing to give it then, look, when you were born again in the Holy Ghost, you said, this is it, brother. It was, you was a child. You was just as much child as you ever could be. You were born in the family. But yet the tutor, which is the Holy Spirit, has watched over the church as it's been maturing. Now, if this tutor in the natural went to the father and said, now here, that boy is not going to be very good. I try to teach him. He just won't listen. He's got his own headstrong way, and he just won't listen. He's going to be this or he's going to be that. The father realizes right then that that boy cannot take over his domain. That's right, because what would he do? He'd run it through. The return of the prodigal son gives a very beautiful picture of it. See, he could not. What he would do would be mortgage the farm or sell it off and drink it up and run around. Now, in the spiritual sense, after we were born into Christ, we become children of God. But then, see, God knows best. Now, here's where I say, reverently disagree with my Latter-rain brethren. You think I'm persecuting the church? No, my dear brother, no. See, now this boy, after he got a certain age, he had to be adopted into that same family he was born into. He had to be adopted into that same family he was born into. Any minister knows that's the place of a son. He had to be adopted into the family that he was born into. Could you imagine that? But that's the Old Testament teaching. Paul's referring to it here in Ephesians, the church of Ephesus. Now, the thing of it is, brethren, we have tried to make each one here and each one this and each one that by laying on of hands and separating or setting apart. Now, we done seen that in church. We're going to make a person a deacon. We're going to make them a preacher. We're going to make them this by us laying our hands on them and making them. They completely missed that. The laying on the hands has come because you've already recognized a gift in this person. Realize, gifts and callings are without repentance. See, if you got a gift to do a particular thing, it's already in you. Now, what you got to do is wait for the time for God to bring that gift forward out of you. Amen. See, it's already there. Most, Brother Branham talk about like a pastor, and I got all these quotes, but I can't give them all to you right now. Talk about a pastor. Is not a flighty person. A man that's a pastor. You see a man that's constantly the Lord called me to be a pastor. But you watch his natural life and some of the decisions that he made. Today he feel led to do this. Tomorrow he feel led to do something else. That change. Now wait a minute. You said yesterday the Lord told you to do this. Well, yeah, that was yesterday. But today is a new day. God's giving me a fresh word. A new word. You got to move with the cloud. You hear that type of stuff? No. You better watch that spirit. See, he going from here to here to changing this. A pastor is not like that. Now, let me tell you something. That's not something that you go to school and you get. You don't learn these behaviors in school. This is something that's just in you as when you this high. Coming on up, these things are already in you, and most people can tell that was in you a long time ago. They see that, and it's easy for them to identify with that. See, and a lot of other gifts that are in the body, the problem is, it's like I was trying to share on Sunday, when we look at the body, everybody want to be one of the external parts. I want to be the nose. I want to be the mouth. Everybody can see the mouth, I want to be the eyes. I want to be the hands. I want to be the feet. All of that's good. But what about the internal parts? What about the kidney? What about the heart? See, what about the immune system? See, if your immune system broke down, your body would break down. See, we got to find little things like that. A man's gift makes room for itself. He never has to push himself to do nothing. I live by that scripture, y'all. I'm telling y'all. Because the reason I live by it is because I had to live it. I had to live that scripture. A man's gift makes room for himself.
bringeth him before great men. I'm a witness of that scripture, ain't none but the truth. I mean, because even in going to being a pastor, even most of y'all know, even when I started, man, we didn't even know Brother Jack was preaching. Huh? What is this? Next thing you know, let's hear what he's saying. Oh, okay. I mean, there's something to this. But most people knew my life before I even got started pastoring. And that's why it wasn't no great shock when they heard that. They knew my life. It wasn't, that brother been so flighty all his life. Another bird heading over to London. Now you got to know the message to know what I just said. Because some ducks go honk, honk. Amen. You got to know the honk now, I'm telling you. Some ducks get out on the palm and say honk, honk, and just go to fly. And they don't know where they're going. And they end all the way up and they were supposed to be going to Louisiana. They went to London. All the way across the water. And then miles. Think in a plane, it took you 8 hours to get across there. Now, you think about a bird flying. How long? Somebody's going to ask, wait a minute. So we've been flying way too long. We ain't made the. Now, I done been to Louisiana before. I know this ain't the way. Something's. Come on, honk, honk, come on. No, you better. No, I'm turning around going back. I'm going back. I don't know where I'm going, but I'm going back. I cannot keep going. I don't know where we headed to. I ain't seen land for in a long time. See? Amen. But, you know, Brother Branham said that duck that screams out honk, honk, he said he could have been born just last year. He could have been born just last year. Never led one day in his life. But because there was something in him. When he moves out by inspiration and says honk, honk, he just take off. Everybody know to follow that one right there. Something in him. Well, I remember one time, I can't remember what that animal, I think it was a zebra. It's a male zebra. He just got something in him. He born with it. We was there walking, you know, this safari. I call a safari a glorified zoo, trip to the zoo. But, you know, we there, and I see this one little fella, he won't move. And he's smaller than all the other ones. But he sit there, and he won't move. He barely blink his eye. And I'm like, why won't this fella move? He was a male. You know, why won't he move? So he's watching over everybody. He's watching out for everybody else. He's the leader. And he's making sure everybody else is protected. And I'm like, what? That look? It was something in him. Everybody else around eating up the garden and doing everything else. But this fella right here just kind of watching everybody. It was in him to do that. Now, there was other male zebras. But he had something in him that the other ones did not have. God places that. God puts that there. See? Amen. So, you know, when we begin to find our place, it's going to be something that was already in us before we even came to the Lord, because gifts and callings are without repentance. Amen. Most singers, they ain't just get to church and start singing. They've been singing way down here. Way down here they've been singing. And mom and daddy heard them at this stage. Got a little voice on them. Ain't that the truth? Amen. Mom and daddy hear them singing around the house. Ooh, they got a little voice. They just got to wait for their time. And at the right time, right song, right service, right, and then they release, you know. And now they're being positionally born. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you, there's singers, and then there's sangers. Sangers can turn an atmosphere around just like that. I mean, they get a hold of one song, and it don't even have to be much, just a little bit of it. They get a hold of it, they'll tear the thing to pieces. I mean, change the atmosphere just like that. You want that, see? But then there's other singers, and we all have the ability to be able to sing. But we have to, and it's okay for us to come and sing. God wants us to worship him like that. But you know that I'll be the first man. I I'm just going to sing a little bit for the glory of the Lord, you know. But a thanger, and see, people like that, Sister Bernice, you know, that she's a thanger. Just bottom line. She'd get up there and just look. I ain't never seen nobody do Sister Bernice. She's a thanger. She is a thanger, you know. Amen. I mean, that's just the way it is, you know. And then there's different types of anointing on different people. Some people don't have that type of captivating, you know. But others have something, they you know, like my grandmother was one. She sung with all of her heart. And and you could tell when she was singing, it was real. You know, it wasn't no play, it wasn't no fake. She couldn't hit all the notes because sometimes my voice just be cracking, you know. I can still hear it today, but still, church be moved because she's coming with something real, see. And you need that. You can't have CC whining singing all the time. Amen. You can't have that. That's why God got so many different artists. If you listen to CC whining, if you listen to her too much, you'll get tired of her. Amen. That's why, you know, you get another singer with a different style. Now that coming, that blesses your soul, right? Same thing when it comes to preaching the word. You get multiple preachers that will feed you in different ways. Sometimes you need a preacher that'll rake you over the coals. You need it. Because otherwise you won't do nothing about that pulling up the slack in your life. So you need a preacher to come and just don't know you, don't care to know you. Just going to say what they need to say, and they'll be on the next plane out of here. And they'll lead the pastor to have to pick up all the pieces, you know. But you need that sometime. You sure need it. Amen. Praise the Lord anyway. All right. Let me keep going. I'm going to finish this quote, and I'm going to let you go tonight. Now, the thing of it is, brethren, we have tried to make each one here and each one this and each one that by laying on of hands and separating or setting apart. But God has to do that. The only one can do it. Now, when the father became aware that this boy was not worthy, he never disowned him. He was still his boy, but he couldn't put confidence in him. He was too carried about with all kinds of winds of doctrine. That's what the scripture says. Be not carried about by every wind of doctrine. Be stable. Always abound in the works of the Lord. For so much as you know your works is not in vain. Quickly, we wish we could stay on that a while. But notice, this father, the day come when this boy maybe had been all right and was a worthy man. He listened to the father. He took instructions. He was a good boy. Then the father taking him out into the public street and then put a special clothes on him. And when the father had a ceremony and adopted this, his son, into his family, Paul's saying here, having predestinated us unto the adoption, and he says Moses, a prefigure of it. I was bringing it out last week, how Moses was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. And by being adopted by her, he was being tutored. He was being raised in Egypt to become the next Pharaoh. See, and eventually he would have had this ceremony because Moses had to choose to suffer the affliction of the people of God then, you know, to continue going the route that he was going. Moses, a prefigure of it. And then this son, after he came out there, was given, no longer was he just like the servant under a tutor. So no longer was he just like a servant under a tutor. He was the boss. Amen. I hope this soaks real deep. I'm going to leave you in a minute. Let's get way down deep. The son was no more under a tutor, but he was like his father. And his father gave him certain things to do. The father might have told him, you take care of this field over here. Or you do this over here. You take care of the slaves. You take care of whatever it was. He was in full possession. Amen. For he was adopted into that family. And his name on a check was just as good as his daddy's. Now, what God has done, the reason we see these things and know that there's something wrong for him, we see the promises of God. We see it in the word of God. But God has just begun, to my humble opinion, to adopting his son, positionally calling them out to one side, giving him a certain ministry, anointing them for that purpose, and sending them out. Watch what happens when he does. Everything that he give him possession over will take place. God adopted his own son like that. Jesus was walking as an ordinary man, but one day upon Mount Transfiguration, he taken three as a witness, Peter, James, John, hope, faith, and charity, called them out. And he separated Jesus from them, and he overshadowed him,
And the Bible said his raiment shined like the sun in its strength. What was it? That special robe. God adopting his own son. And they see Moses and Elijah appear and so forth. Then they show him and they seen Jesus only. And when he looked back then, God the Father, after putting the robe on his son, he said, "This is my beloved son. Hear ye him." No wonder Jesus could say, "All the powers in heaven and earth is given unto my hand." For he was adopted by his Father into the glorious kingdom of God. Now sitting in the majesty at the right hand above every archangel and angel and every star, moon, or every name that's named in heaven. It's subject to the name of Jesus Christ, for he's adopted by God the Father. This is the last quote. Brother Randall says, "Now to his church, you that's positionally is seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, be humble, brethren. Someday the Holy Spirit will speak to you, call you out to one side, somewhere in a little cabin on a hillside, or in the washroom somewhere, and there will anoint you for a certain service or a certain thing to do. It won't be the laying on, the hand of the presbyters or elders." And see, that's what people want. They want the pastor, the people to come and lay hands to identify them for everybody that this is who I am. But you know what? A person that's really called don't need man to identify anything in them. Amen. Listen, says it won't be the laying on the hand of a presbyter or elders. It'll be the laying on the hands of all of God Almighty himself to put a new ministry in you and a new robe on you and to set you out as an example. And all the demons out of torment will never upset you. God grant, my brethren, that will each one receive this blessing. Shall we pray? And that's where we are under expectation. God will visit each one. Amen. In their own special way. God will anoint you for a task to do. Amen. And once God has done it, then it's done. Amen. You don't have to worry about it anymore. But I don't want to, certainly, I've seen enough in my days to know that we should not be fighting over positions. Amen. It should be a thing. It's just a natural fit. One of my, something that my boss, I heard him say just the other day, and I'll just share this with you. I may preach it someday, but. He said, "Act up." And I never heard this before. Act up. I was gone. But what he was saying is that if you're working at a certain position, amen, in a company, you want to act like you, and you want to carry yourself like you in the position above where you act. So act up. See, amen. And I'm gonna tell you that that ain't nothing, but that's true. As you know, I just have to go back to my days when I was, even though I was a song leader, I was involved in so many other things in the church. I was really the pastor's right-hand man in a lot of things. I wasn't trying to. That was just coming out of me. I was acting up at that time. See? I was acting up. So when you're acting up, you're already doing that. So it's much easier when you move right into that position because you're acting up. You're acting up to that position. Amen. And when you're called to that position, it's easy to act up into it. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word tonight. Appreciate, Lord, just this little time in Ephesians. And Lord, how we can just really break down just scripture by scripture on this, but trying to get little things into the hearts of the people. We want to see the entire church come into its position, its place in Christ. In finding that, God makes the body just run like a well-oiled machine. So smooth, no issues, nothing major. But God, help us, Lord, just to find our place in the body of Christ. Wherever we are, may we be satisfied to be that. And may, Lord, you just get glory out of the lives that we would live, is our prayer. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.